gentlemen, welcome to the On Demand Anime Podcast with Jordan Sherwood and myself, Mario Heron. Follow Jordan at Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. Jordan, Mario Bautista hurt my wallet and kicked my ass. But other than that, you know, how'd that fight night go for you?
Let's make a promise that, you know, anybody with our namesake is on a future card and we've got a bet on it, like, or like the ability to bet on it. Let's go with that guy. So yeah. I don't know why we both weren't on Mario. Jordan Levitt fights in next week. So maybe we go with him. He's a sizable underdog. Look, I mean, I'm not surprised how it ended up. I mean, Bautista, like he opened at the price point he opened up that we didn't like, right? We talked about it. He opened up almost like a $2 favorite. By the time we were recording the podcast, it got bet down to $1.70. And I was saying, like, even at that price, I thought Oliveira, I know you've got the future bet on him being a champion. That took a little bit of a hit, right?
Whew, you know, big hit.
But you still got 2 years for that to come through, I think. I mean, I'm not surprised by the result. Bautista's been in it with better guys. I guess he had the game plan. And then I guess really the storyline came out that Oliveira just a massive weight cut and just, you know, hadn't been in there with as talented of fighters as Bautista had been. And Bautista exposed him. And maybe Oliveira thought he was just going to walk through Bautista. We had talked about similar fighters having success. Trevion Jones, Corey Sandhagen, those lengthy strikers that could work in some takedowns if they needed to at some point. But, like, Bautista looked great. Bautista looked great, and it was a bad loss. And especially because Bautista didn't fight like a normal Bautista fight. Usually he's a guy that's going to, like, go into the championship rounds or take it into the deeper into third. That's why we like the over as well. So both of those miss, and it's tough when you get a double dip and it's on the wrong side of things, especially in a main event fight like that.
Yeah, it's always tough when you get to kind of like that last round and you go – or last fight, and you're like, all right, this is for all the marbles. I'm feeling good right about this, and then it goes that way. And Mario, I mean, credit all to him, man. He came into that fight with a clear strategy, and it worked to a T. He was able to take him down nonstop and just bully him into the ground. So all the props in the world to him. If I had to give you an option of who you'll fight next, Sandhagen or Song, which one would you rather see, and which one do you kind of think?
Yeah, I mean, it's right. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I wrote both those names down as well. I mean, Corey Sandhagen hasn't fought since he lost to Merab, so he needs a fight. It would be kind of ideal because it would be a rematch. It's been, obviously some point since Corey Sandhagen and Mario Bautista, you know, stood opposite each other. Actually, I think Mario Bautista's debut, he took the fight on short notice. Song Yadong coming off of a loss to Sean O'Malley. So maybe, yeah, you could make that argument. I actually wrote down Sean O'Malley. I mean, like, look.
Really?
You know, look, here's the thing. I want Sean O'Malley in a high-profile fight, likely on that White House card. And I know we're going to get to the White House card at some point. But, like, outside of that, there's nobody really for me that's captivating in the bantamweight the division that I'm saying, sure, you know, he deserves to, you know, Mario Bautista makes sense. So I think Corey Sandhagen is probably – the ideal, you know, guy. He's coming off the loss to the former champion. Bautista has proven that he is, you know, in that top five, top seven conversation. And with the way that Umar looked against Bautista and Umar looked against Sandhagen, and obviously you're going to probably have Jan versus Merab at some point in a trilogy fight. Mario Bautista and Sean O'Malley, Mario Bautista and Corey Sandhagen is the fight that I think makes the most amount of sense.
And that division has such a long line of guys that, like, deserve a title shot. Like, you make an argument for three different guys. And then reality is going to be, you know, Jan versus Merab part two. And then if Umar O'Malley, we'll see. I like that fight, though, for Mario especially. I think, like, an O'Malley fight, that's a big thing that can get his name out there more. I think he can probably do some damage to him, probably approach that fight similar to this one with Oliveira with the amount of striking that O'Malley possesses. Was there anything else from this fight night? I mean, I have Kyoji, I thought, you know, looked really, really good. I kind of had a feeling that maybe next for him is Brandon Ruval. I kind of think that's a good fight for him next, or Cape maybe. But that was the only one that kind of stood out to me right away. And the heavyweight division is just a clear disaster. That I think if we each put on like 100 pounds, they would like maybe give us a shot to get in there because it's.
Look, I mean, that's what I said. Then we talk about it. Tank Abbott could like Joe Rogan had the comment that Tank Abbott could fight in this day and age in this MMA heavyweight division. And I think that that's appropriate. Yeah, Hiraguchi, like, did he have opportunities to finish the fight? You know, not really. I thought that was a smart play though, just based on how brilliant he looked in his return. Abazi's still like, you know, he's not right. I still don't think he's fully healthy. And I thought Hiraguchi would pursue the finish. That's why that plus 200 prop really jumped out at me. Like, I don't know what's next for him because the question that I think we all need is when is Pantoja fighting? Like, when is he going to return? Is he on the shelf until 2027 because of a broken leg? Or does he have an opportunity to fight, you know, at some point in 2026? We know, I think it's confirmed UFC 327 is Jan or Von versus Tatsuro Taira for the title. So that's interesting because I think that's a great fight. So, yeah, Hiraguchi versus Kopp, Hiraguchi versus Royval, Hiraguchi versus Moreno if Moreno is victorious in a couple of weeks against a guy that I don't know why he's fighting him, but I don't even remember who he's fighting, but he's, like, fighting some dude that, like, just lost. And then the other thing, Mario, I guess about fight night is, like, the thing, like, and it's true maybe in other sports too, or like sometimes like you could call out the officiating and they kind of dictated the fight. Like, how the fuck did Keith Peterson not stop that Alex Morano fight? Like, how did he not stop it and have our under at 1.5 come in cash? I know Morano's a tough dude, and I know like a lot of people recommended the over. Good for you that, you know, those cappers out there that did. But, like, the under was there. Like, he was finished 3 fucking times in that fight. But they let him fight. And, you know, Morano got handed his pink slip, right? You know, he got fired at the UFC. So that's the uncontrollable. And I guess an uncontrollable B, my takeaway of the fight is, like, if a guy doesn't want to fight, like, I can't control that. Jalton Omeda via decision was the right play. And I will believe that until I die. But the dude doesn't want to fight at all. Like, he doesn't want to be a UFC fighter. So I think the plus 400 decision prop was smart. It was right. And, you know, he ended up deciding to fight in the third round, won the third round, I think, on all 3 judges' scorecards, but didn't show up for the first 2.
The key thing really, Sammy, because he's screwed me before in stopping fights too early, where I go, well, you really, like, I thought that guy was screaming for a little bit, but this is now 2 weekends in a row where – we have these fights where you go, hey, call it the Dan Hooker fight. He's getting his ass pounded. You go, stop it. Like, I understand this is the sport that really lets it go, but at the same time, the guy's not doing anything to keep the fight going. Frustrated by that. I get it. This weight division sucks, and I get that we need all the blood in the world. But the fact that Jalton goes in there, puts up that performance – it just, for me, it just ties and goes towards the idea in my mind that division needs Alex Pereira in it so badly. Like, I don't think they have a choice anymore. The light heavyweight, you have so many guys that are worthy of the championship title, so many guys that are fan favorites that people would get behind for a champion. You have to give Alex Pereira the green light to go move up in weight, fight Cyril Gane, who will get his, like, 1,000th time at winning the belt and lose again. You have to make that move, man. If John Jones comes back, great, but I don't think that's going to happen. That is just such a piss poor. They're supposed to be the baddest man on the planet, Jordan, and I'm just sitting there going, none of these guys I'm signing up right away to go watch. Instead, I'm just going to go, I'm waiting for someone to move into the division.
You're 100% right, and I think actually that should be – the Gon versus Pereira fight should maybe be the co-main event of that White House card if you can make it happen.
Yeah.
There's nothing else in the in the heavyweight division that has me amped. I mean, I'm interested. I guess 2 things. So, like, obviously, and I think you agree. Like, Tom Aspinall, like, I mean, he was posting pictures of his eyes and his eye surgery. Oof. Like, obviously, like, worried about him, and hopefully he has an opportunity to return, but he is now being affected multiple times for multiple different reasons on years. And we were not on him, but the guy that I'm actually the most interested in seeing fight next is Waldo Acosta. Like, he's on a run. He's knocking people out. He's looking good. He's entertaining. And I guess 1B would also be Josh Holkett, right? Like, The dude hasn't fought anybody, but he's making a name for himself. I think he should get a top 10 opponent immediately and see where it goes. See if he could push this pace that he pushes in the cage. But outside of that, and like, those are two just random dudes. Those aren't people that people are getting together to watch, you know, with their buddies on Paramount Plus now and at the bar or whatever. Like, but they could get there. They could get there, both of them collectively, if they have, you know, one or two more impressive wins.
They could. And I'd be interested to see how Josh kind of looks in that fight too. And even the difference between, I think, a top 10 fighter in the heavyweight and 10 through 15, I don't know if it's really that big of a margin either. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think there's a huge jump that you make in those rankings. We have another champion, by the way, that came out and said he's back. He's in the gym. He won his divorce, as I like to say it. I don't know if there ever is a winner, but Ilya certainly won it. And he's back. He's training. And he's going to be ready for getting ready for a fight. I have four fighters to throw at you for him. And you give me your excitement scale 1 through 5. And this would be for the White House card. Okay. Big daddy of them all that we still don't know anything about. So the first one I have for you is Ilya Topuria versus Justin Gaethje, 1 through 5. What is your excitement?
Okay, so wait, you want me to rank each individually, or you want me to rank them like in order? Are you going to give me them all, or am I going to give you like – if you're asking me to like how excited I would be to see Justin Gaethje fight Ilya Topuria on a 1 to 5 scale, 5 being like I'm like what, stopping everything I'm doing and just staring at the TV, it's a 2. Like I have like no interest really in that fight. I mean, Justin Gaethje, good for you. You won the interim title. I thought Paddy was going to win it, but I have no interest in that fight because I think Ilya Topuria just takes care of him in the first round. It doesn't do anything for me. Do you have a different opinion of it? Are you like on board with this Gaethje, like last time, last fight, you know? He's America, you know, he's taking on the Spaniard. Like, is that the storyline you've got for me?
Yeah, the American versus the Spaniard. It's exactly how I feel. But give me that take. I'm sorry, I cut out a little bit. Give me your take one more time so I can tell you if I agree with it or not.
Yeah, I have it as a 2. Like, I don't have a lot of interest in it. I think it would be completely one-sided. I like the story. Like I said, I like the story. One last run into the sunset for Justin Gaethje. But Ilya Topuria has proven to me that he needs either a high-profile animosity fight, which should have been Paddy, or he needs someone else.
Same boat. I mean, Gaethje, I love him. It's a great story. But I think they kind of did him the favor they gave Dustin Poirier in the end, where, like, here's your championship fight. Dustin loses it, obviously. Loses the BMF belt, too, to be honest. And then Gaethje wins his. And it's like, go off into the sunset. You did it, brother. You know, you have it. Who cares if it's interim? Who cares? You got it. Yeah. Write it off. It was an upset. I wouldn't care at all. The only thing I'd be excited about this is I'll go, you know, if I'm watching it, you know, it's Valentine's Day tomorrow. If I'm watching it with like a girlfriend, I'd be like, hey, don't worry. This is going to be over in a minute. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to watch this anymore. We can get on whatever show you want to watch after.
Or for Valentine's Day, probably just go out to dinner instead. You know, don't even have to watch it. You know, like,
why risk
the relationship and say, hey, this could go, you know, this will only be over a minute. Just say, well, I'll catch it on the next time.
It's a good one where you can go, I need to go to the bathroom real quick. And it's just, you watch it and you go, all right, 2 minutes. She didn't even know I'm gone. We're perfect. the next one for Ilya, Armand. I think this is the dream scenario, right? And this is for me, stop everything I'm doing, call every family member in the world, call my mother, call my uncle, call my great-great uncle. Like, let's get it going.
I just love how many people you've got on quick dial, right? On your favorites tab to like call and like say, hey, we got to get together and watch Armin Sarukian and fight Ilya Topuria. you know, it's higher than Gaethje. I'll probably go 4. You know, we just haven't seen Armand in a bit. That bothers me. That in fact, he can't get a fight. I almost would say this. It's a 4 because he's a viable contender, right? He is.
Yeah.
He's the guy that should be fighting. If you're having Ilya Topuria fight the contender is not Justin Gaethje. The contender is Armin Sarukian. So I guess it's a 4 because stylistically, I don't think it would be a blowout. I do think Armin – would provide a challenge to Ilya Topuria, saying and claiming that he's, you know, the champ and also one of the pound-for-pound bests. It turns into a five for me if Armin does what you said last week on the show that he might do, go down to 145, beat Volk, and then go back to 155 and say, I've got a belt, you've got a belt, let's figure this thing out.
That I think that would be Dana White's dream almost, even though he doesn't get involved in matchmaking anymore. I want this thing to happen more than anything on this planet. And the reason why is I think it'd be really cool because it'd be the first time we see Ilya, like, not in the heel role. Like, look at all these fights where, like, Holloway, fan favorite, Volk, fan favorite, you know, it, all these moments, it's like everyone's kind of cheering against him. And with Armon, it's like not really that loved by the fan base. I think people just think, oh, he posts the most food you've ever seen on one table all the time. And that's like pretty much it. So I think it, that angle of it would fascinate me, and it could really elevate the brand of Ilya, I think, too, at the same time. The only thing that I have a little cautious with is, like, again, is Armand going to make weight? Is Armand going to pull out the last second? You said the inactivity. That worries me as well. And if he goes down to 145, can he jump back to 155 pretty quickly after he finishes off the fight? There's a lot of question marks kind of surround it. We'll see what happens. But if that became official, like, Jordan, I think I would call you four times at whatever time of the day. You could be in, like, the biggest meeting in the world. I'm going, we got it, baby. You know, like, it's finally happening.
Yeah, I mean, look, and I think, like, now we want to see what Ilya is. I mean, I think he's up there with, like, Islam and Pereira. Like, when are they fighting? And the good thing, too, is with, you know, all this – hoopla about the White House card is that we've only got one. I think, again, we've only got one champion that's scheduled, and that's Vaughn. And then, and is that even official? Again, UFC 327 against Tyra. Every other champion does not have a fight booked. So there's two other pay-per-views that have to be done prior to, or at least two, right? That have to be done prior to the June card, but nothing official as of yet.
And Vaughn's, you know, if you get him at 327, great. He's not really White House caliber championship fighter, so that'd be kind of a tough sell too for the fan base. You have Ian Garry that's just said that he's starting camp up right now, and you don't really know, like, okay, then are you going to fight Islam for the belt? Would that be, you know, a little bit later on then, or sooner than we think it is? Would that be White House? A lot of questions. With Islam, Ilya versus
him. But real quick, -7 thousand that Mario Heron would bring up Ian Machado Garry on the podcast each and every time. He's got to get his 2 cents in with Ian Garry. And, you know, rightly so, man. You know, look,
my guy.
I know he's your guy. Look, and that's great. And, like, that's where I go with the conversation with Islam Makhachev. And it's almost, you know, a similar situation that I felt when George St. Pierre came back and took the middleweight title from Michael Bisping. If anybody else in the 185-pound division was wearing that strap other than Michael the Count Bisping, GSP would never have come back to try and win two titles. If you think about the killers that were at 185 during that time, GSP would not have anything to do with them. For Islam Makhachev, he's pound-for-pound best, in my opinion, but he's got to fight a Machado Garry. He's got to fight a Morales. Yep. You know, he's got guys at 170 that I want to see him compete with. And those fights need to be scheduled, need to be booked. So it's good to hear that Machado Garry's back in camp because maybe that's a fight that you put on the White House card.
Oh, my God, please do. Him in a press conference chirping, I would want nothing more. Like, please, please, please. Can I throw one more Ilya fight at you? And then I have a big question for you about the White House card.
Yeah.
Would it interest you at all if we get Ilya versus Max part two, if Max knocks out Charles?
No. I love Max. It wouldn't. Just how that fight went, right? You know.
Yeah.
I it doesn't have any interest to me. I love Max Holloway. It doesn't. But I wrote down I'd rather have, instead of a Max Holloway, I'd rather actually have, like, a Benoit St. Denis. Like, just go in there. Like, I just know the type of fight that I'm gonna get. It's gonna be a car crash for as long as it lasts. So BSD, I would have much more interest in a guy like BSD who's claiming he wants a shot at the BMF title. Well, fine, just, you know, have him go in there and show how badass he is if he fights the champ. And the other guy, Mario's Patty. Like, I know he lost, but yeah. I want fucking Patty. Yeah. I do. Like, I want – he's going to need a bounce-back fight. Maybe that's BSD. But, like, if Patty's on the right trajectory, that's the fight I want the most. Do you want Max? If Max is successful against Charles, which I hope he's not, by the way. I can never root.
Yeah.
Even though I love Max, I can't root against Charles Oliveira. That's my guy. If yours is Ian Machado Gary, mine's Charles Oliveira.
Dude, Charles is so hard to go against. And in every interview, too, you like just want to give him a hug. And then you're like, also, you're the scariest human being I've ever seen in my life. If he takes out Oliveira easily, then I think there's a statement to make. There's an argument for it. Part of me is because I'm a Max Holloway fan. And just stylistically, it's very, like, very pleasing for the White House card. Two guys are going to brawl. Two guys are excellent strikers. In the off chance that Max gets it done, you have an American putting up the belt. And in these, you know, in these cards where we've seen where it is country-wise, you want usually those guys to win. And right now, there's no American champion. And right now, well, Vaughn. But right now, there's not really
– No, remember, he's not the champ. Remember?
Yeah, and he's not the champ.
Harrison. Kayla Harrison is the official only American champion. That's it.
Yes. So, and she's, you know, got and her next
– She's sideline till November. Like,
you know. Exactly. I mean, they were begging that O'Malley was going to have a big run, and look where that's gotten him. So,
yeah.
On this White House card, I was comparing it to UFC 300 because it's on the same level of hype and same level of they're trying to get the biggest names to be on it.
Yeah.
Is there any fighter you think, Jordan, that has to be on it? And does McGregor and John Jones have to be on this?
Well, I mean, I think Conor McGregor has to be on it. I think if you're gonna do this and say it's gonna be the biggest fight card of all time, and you know the dance that you've been having back and forth with any fighter, and I know you've been dancing with both Jones and McGregor, I think it has to be Conor McGregor. The eyeballs that would want to see him compete against whomever would be absolutely just must stop and watch. So I think if Dana White and the president have to put all their chips in one basket and make something happen, it would have to be Conor McGregor. Because I would say to you, if it's John Jones, it has to be Tom Aspinall. So, yeah. And you don't have any guarantee that it could be Tom Aspinall. Like, you could throw Conor McGregor in there with 15 different guys. We could go off, Benoit St. Denis, he'll go up to 170 and fight Conor McGregor. Would love that fucking fight. That'd be great, right? John Jones, if John Jones is fighting, he can only fight one guy, or maybe two, Alex Pereira and Tom Aspinall. That's it. Those are the only two. Conor McGregor can fight 15 different guys.
Yeah, I completely agree. Conor makes anything exciting where I think John, again, it's the heavyweight discussion. There's no name in there that kind of will get you blood pumping, get you excited. What, DC is going to come out of retirement? Like, what's going to happen here? And no one wants to see that at all. He's going to get smoked in there. That's the kind of sad part with the John Jones situation is there's only two likely candidates. One is probably never going to fight again as it looks right now. And then Alex Pereira, are you comfortable moving up? Would you have John Jones cut weight and have him try to, you know, do that? Would he be up for it? Connor's little dribblings of videos, you know, him doing the jiu-jitsu and goes, you're arrested, man. Just take it. If that doesn't lead to him being on a White House card or lead to him being on this thing, it's a nightmare. It's a disaster. But the one fighter I think, without a doubt, like if there's gambling lines, we could bet on them being in it. I think I'd put my life savings on Alex Pereira being in it because he has to be. I don't see a way in a I don't see a world where they don't have him on there and going, hey, this is going to be a guaranteed knockout. Everyone just sit back and watch.
Well, he's the biggest. He's the UFC's biggest star. He is the biggest star. He might not be the best fighter, but he is the biggest star. He's the champion at 205. I think he if anybody needs to be on the card, it is a guy like Alex Pereira for sure. And you know, again, Dana's been saying we're supposed to get some sort of sprinkling of announcements, but you know, here we are, just twiddling our thumbs, just waiting for this to happen.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm gonna get first, Jordan. I don't know if I'm going to get an update on the White House card or a call back from the love of my life that I saw in Washington, D.C. I don't really know which one I'm going to get a call from. So whichever happens first.
Who is this?
She was great. She lives in New York. It was never going to work. But yeah, it's a little poetry for you. A little Valentine's Day. Same thing.
Well done. Well done. look, yeah, I think it has to be Pereira. But I'll tell you this, I don't think he'll be successful. But if Sean Strickland figures out a way to beat Fluffy Hernandez next week, like, Sean Strickland's on that card. He might probably be on the card anyways, but if he beats Fluffy, yeah, he's on that card. And he'll make sure of it because he'll have a nice post-fight speech about it.
I'm going to punch a hole through a wall if he beats Fluffy. I was rewatching some of Fluffy's fights yesterday, and I was like, I can't wait for him to beat the snot out of Sean Strickland.
Yeah.
I can't wait for it. So if that doesn't fall through, I'm going to bet a lot on Anthony Hernandez in many different ways. But if he does win, that's Israel and Izzy wins. Izzy, him, part two.
Yeah.
That's perfect for watch.
Yeah,
for
that definitely makes a lot of sense. I agree with that.
All right, that's it for us on the Unnamed MMA podcast with Jordan Sherwood and myself, Mario Heron. Jordan, anything else for the people?
Yeah, I'm just looking ahead and seeing if there's anything that you might want to grab early on as the fight card for UFC Houston is next weekend. And I certainly believe that Carlos Leal is going to bounce back. He's not going to fight leading into a fight with his head up and not protecting himself. It's a challenge because he's fighting Chidi and Jinkawani. It should be a fantastic fight on the feet, but I think Carlos Leal at $1.50 bounces back, gets his hand raised.
I like it. I like it. We'll have a full breakdown of that card next week. Newsflash, Hernandez all the way. But we'll take you through that, all of our best bets for it in every single way that we are looking at each and every single fight. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you next time on the Unnamed MMA podcast.